So, oh, hang on. I got up too early. We're going to watch a video. Sorry. I knew there was something missing.
My name is Ada Boland. I've been living in Townsville now for the past 25 years. I was about 14 and a half, and one night I just got down on my knees in my bedroom. God, are you really there? Are you really alive? Are you really what everybody's been talking about? You know, I'm so popular, I'm into the sports, I'm into everything, and yet on the inside it just felt like an emptiness and that something was missing. I was in sharing my bedroom with my niece Samantha. It would have been early hours of the morning. I hear this voice, and it was Samantha's voice, and she was singing out, "Auntie Ada, Auntie Ada, Auntie Ada," and I rolled over and she's like dead sleep. I just went back to sleep, and then not even 5 minutes again, "Auntie Ada, Auntie Ada." I turned over, and the second time I actually got out of bed, I went over to sort of wake her, but she was just so dead sleep, couldn't even budge her to wake up. So I'm thinking, I wonder what's going on, maybe she's dreaming. And the third time, a couple of minutes after I got back into bed, there's this voice again, "Auntie Ada." Now, to some people, this may seem unbelievable, but it was the turning point in my life in relation to believing and having a belief and faith that God was alive and that he's real. I turned over and there was this light that was coming into my bedroom. There was a manly figure that had a white, fluorescent, colourful, you know, when you see a light in the centre of the light, it was a man, and it was God. God actually spoke to me and he said, "Ada, I'm here. You were searching for me." And I was sort of starting to shake, and he said, "You don't have to be afraid. You've been looking for me and I'm here for you." So many times we think we've got to reach out to God, but he has tried so many times to reach us. And you know, that was through his son Jesus. He came to us. And so for this particular time in my life, he came looking for me because he saw the desire in my heart. I really wanted to know who he was and if he was real. From there, I just had, you know, it'll have it like an overwhelming peace and fulfillment in my life. Then began, I suppose, a life-changing circumstances, a life-changing crossroads in my whole family, really. My mum really, she just changed her whole life around and came to God. There was a domino effect in my family. We had massive encounters of God and things just happening in our lives that were supernatural. My mum and dad were contemplating divorce and separation because of alcohol and because of domestic violence. And my dad, who was in the war, he went to Borneo and he fought in Papua New Guinea on the Kokoda Trail. And you know, here at Townsville as well. So he had lots of scars from the war in his life. And but God reached my dad. He just couldn't understand why my mother had changed so much. You know, from a bitter, cursing, unhappy person to becoming somebody that had all this love in her heart. Mum used to say to me, "Oh, God tells me stop nagging, cook him dinner, leave it in the oven. So if he comes home drunk, well, at least he's got his food." And so there was this massive love in my life and in my mother's life, and that sort of was the next step of my dad becoming a Christian. And so, you know, there was just this change of amazing love and, I suppose, grace that was beginning to grow in our family, brought us closer, because my sister just changed pretty amazingly as well. She just got so full of God that on the night that we had the meeting, there were these German people in the meeting in tears and crying, and we're all sort of looking at ourselves and thinking, what's going on? And the German family say, my sister, she just spoke our language in German. And she just spoke directions from God to us. Can you believe this? We're all looking at each other. And they're crying and saying, now we know what God wants us to do. My sisters and my mother were known to be the pugs of the town. That's how rough and rugged our family was, and that's what we were known for, not to mess with the Boland family. They were the fighters in the town. My sister Linda is home with the Lord now. She just transformed so much. Her husband was Dutch, and he just could not understand what was going on with her. He says to us one day, don't you dare talk to us about your God. I don't believe in your God unless he's Dutch and he can speak my dialect. And so me and my mum, we all started praying. And then within like 2 months, this knock on our door, and here's these two people standing. And he says, I'm actually Dutch. Van Zugel is a Dutch name. And me and my mum and my sister were looking at each other and we could not believe it. And he started to talk to my brother-in-law in his Dutch language, and guess what? He could speak his dialect. And within a week, my brother-in-law was baptised, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. So it was like a domino thing that happened in my family when God turned up in our house. The influence of God just grew in all of us. And for myself, God just got a hold of me. And I've always had two specific things that I hold on to. One is to be in the perfect will of God. And the other one is to know that without God, I can't do anything. You know, and he's just been so good to me. And I look at my life, I've been to 12 nations. The first black Indigenous woman to be on a leadership team and on staff at the biggest church in Townsville. We've travelled through difficult times, our family, and a lot of us do, you know, with major losses in our families and grief. In the 90s, we lost my niece, Samantha, and then I lost my mum, and then I lost my dad. It's crossroads in our life, and I can remember, even as a Christian, getting very bitter. Even when you know God, things go wrong, but I can remember I just did not want to get out of bed. And I know that a lot of us have been there. We lose hope, a sense of hope for our future. I had to make a choice. God always seems to turn up at the right time. You know, we go through difficult times, but he's there for us. This particular morning, God actually got my attention and said, Ada, get up and get out of bed. You are going to miss what I got for you down the road. It sort of woke me up and shook me out of my bitterness and anger, frustration, and that sense of lack of purpose. So I made a choice that day, and God has just been so faithful. He has given me the energy, the strength, you know, amazing peace. I don't know how people can live without God. We belong here because God placed us here. You know, and I know that sometimes as Indigenous people, we feel like that we don't belong in our own country. But I want to say to you today that you belong here. This is your home. This is your place. This land was birthed for us to look after as custodians of the land. He made us and he positioned and placed us in a great nation called Australia. You know, and if we're going to see change in our families and in our communities, you know, we've got to come back to the understanding that, you know, God is the creator. You know, he created everything for our good. And for me, Jesus gives us the real life, just the love that God has for us. You know, that's what it's all about. The amazing love of God.
Just the love that God has for us. That's what it's all about. That's Arnie Ada, and I met Arnie Ada this week on the video. I didn't meet her in person. But I really appreciated what she said and how she said it. There's a few resources at the end. I'll share some of them with you, I guess. But from, believe it or not, the Catholic Education, catholic.edu site, there's a prayer that is a settling prayer, which is a great opportunity for us as we sort of stop and pause and think about some of the things that Arnie Ada has said and maybe some of the things that we've had, come along in our lives this week with NAIDOC Week. Maybe a helpful prayer, so let me pray it. God of all wonder, we pause in the busyness of our days to listen deeply to the wisdom of this land and those who belong to it. May our minds be open to dialogue. May our hearts be open to transformation. And may our hands do the work of reconciliation. And we ask that the Spirit accompany us on our journey of healing on these lands, seas and waterways. We also ask the Spirit of peace to be with all those who are living a life of fear, of dispossession and distress. And we make this prayer in the name of Jesus, our brother and our friend. Amen. Well, as we think about, this topic of reconciliation and NAIDOC Week and this idea of who we are as a nation, I hope that as we think a bit about what Arnie Ada said as well and what I say is helpful. it's one of those things that it's very hard for me to stand up here and I can ask God to help me with this, but it would appear that there's times where I say things that aren't helpful. So I encourage you to hold those things lightly if you don't feel that they're helpful or if they're challenging or confronting to you, then I'd encourage you maybe to sit with God with them. Always ask for feedback. I've already received feedback today, good, bad and indifferent. And so, you know, you're also welcome to come and talk to me. I would welcome that. But Arnie Ada said two things, and there's a bunch of stuff that Arnie Ada said that I just love. And I should say that I'll give you the website at the moment, but there's this, that video is a part of what's called 40 Stories Project. Have you heard of 40 Stories Project? 40 stories by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christians, and they're very much like that, except what Arnie Ada just told us, except they're 40 different Indigenous people across our country. And I found looking at them and listening to them just eye-opening and so very encouraging, and so I wanted you to be encouraged by Aunty Ada, but I did want to pick up on just something she said at one point. She said, I've always had two specific things I've held onto. One is to be in the perfect will of God, and the other one is to know that God, without God, I can't do anything. And there's two statements there, and I hope one of them particularly, you might just immediately think John 15:5, without him I can do nothing. But that, where she starts, one is to be in the perfect will of God. Aunty Ada, I think, has worked out that in life in Christ, a part of that journey is where we actually set aside our will and some of the things that we might want and seek. And we set that aside and instead place before that God's will. It's a part of walking with God and being a disciple of Jesus, is wanting to see his will above and before perhaps our own. And interestingly, I think as the journey continues, we find out more and more how his good and perfect will actually is fits very nicely with our deepest wants and desires and will. But that idea of letting go of our will and trying to sit in the perfect will of God. The other one is, as I said, like John 15:5, the other one is to know that without God, I can't do anything. And so for Aunty Ada, there's this idea of, I walk not in God's will, I aim to be in, sorry, not in my will, but in God's will. But also with this understanding that there's not much that I can do in and of myself. I need to walk in his will, but also rely on his strength to be able to do that. And so I hear in Aunty Ada a real humility. And it reminds me of Micah 6:8, that idea of walking humbly with your God, willing to set aside your will for his, and willing to recognize that without him we can't do anything. There's a real humility there. Well, I wanted to jump to Acts 17, and I thank Jason for reading from the Message. It's very, very different from the NIV that you've got in the pew. At the same time, it was helpful, but if you've got the NIV in the pew, it might be helpful to open that up at this point. Acts 17, 24 to 28, I found that there was some points in it there that I just really is why I chose that reading for today. Acts 17, you probably know the context. Paul is found himself in a place where there's a lot of idols. They don't seem to know the one true God, but there is this idol for an unknown God. And so Paul says to him, let me tell you about the unknown God. And these are some of the things that he says. And they're things that I think are helpful just for us as a bit of a foundation for our thinking this evening. And I also found that they resonated in some ways at points with what Aunty Ada said. The first thing that I pulled out of that few verses is that God gives life to all men. That meaning all of mankind, all men and women. This idea that we have all been created by him and we have our life from him, but also that we are to inhabit everywhere. And that came through in the Message translation as well, this idea that God has made the earth and he's made it for us to inhabit, for us to dwell. And so there we are. We all come from God, and this place that we call earth is our, at this time, our home. And then the third thing I sort of pulled out, which I think the NIV does maybe bring out some different things to the Message, but I was quite happy with the Message still, that when it comes to this, how all this works out, God's sort of got it sorted. It's a part of his plan. And in all of that, his plan is that it's so that people will seek him, so that we will, as humanity, move towards him and be in connection and relationship to him. And I've put that in bold because I just think that's really helpful for us. And then it finishes by saying that in all of this, God's not far from us. In fact, we are all in him and we are all his offspring. So we've got this connection. So notice how the beginning of that little passage and the end of this that passage sort of actually begins and ends in the same sort of idea, and that is this unity between each of us. But there's also this obviously intended unity between us and God as well. But it's this bit in the middle between that sandwich that God has a plan in all of this. And its plan is, his plan is that in all of this we might know him. And that can sometimes get lost in all that. Aunty Ada, she had a desire to seek God, didn't she? And interesting, when God turns up, what is it that he says? He says, don't be afraid, that's classic first thing God or an angel says when you see them in a vision. Don't be afraid. But he says, hey, I'm the one you were seeking. I'm here. And Aniata says that, you know, she believes that God showed up because, you know, he knew her heart, that she was genuinely seeking him. But sometimes life gets in a mess, and there's a lot of brokenness in this world, isn't there? And one of the things about NAIDOC Week is it's one of those weeks that can bring a lot of frustration as we're reminded, I guess, of the brokenness. And for us as a nation, the brokenness that has been there for some time and continues to be there. And so how do we trust, I guess, that God actually has everything sorted in the midst of that? And then we might even ask, does God really expect us all to seek him in the midst of that? I discovered Psalm 136 this week. I shared it with the elders on Monday night at our elders' meeting. But in Psalm 136, there's this line that keeps repeating itself. You would know it because it's in a song we sing. His love endures forever. You know that song? You may vaguely remember it from my singing of it just then. And there's this different lines in all the way through Psalm 136. If I was to give you some of those lines, the first one is, who struck down great kings. His love endures forever. If you're a great king who's been struck down, you're probably thinking, yeah, whatever. Just because we've come out of Amos, one of the lines I pulled out from one of the verses of 136 was Og, king of Bashan, where, of course, the cows of Bashan are having drinks. Even though he struck down Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. I don't know what Og, king of Bashan, thinks about God's love at that point. It says, and gave their land as an inheritance. His love endures forever. They might go, well, yeah, he's taken our land from us. Don't know about that. And given it to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. It's a really strange psalm because as you sit in it and as you read it, you're struck by the fact that there's a whole lot of statements in there that don't look or sound like love as we understand it. And yet the phrase that repeats itself again and again and again is, his love endures forever. And in the midst of brokenness and hurt and pain, we can think, well, where is God? Where is the love? And it is an act of faith, and we here tonight are people who follow Jesus. It's an act of faith, isn't it? That even in the darkest times, God's love is there, enduring forever. And I can't help but think of Aunty Ada as she seeks Jesus. What was it that caused her to seek Jesus? There was an emptiness. There was a brokenness. There was something not right. And it seems to me that as I look around, people who are the cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria calling for drinks, to go back to Amos just for a moment, when we have everything that we perceive that we need, it's very hard to seek God out, isn't it? And so in the midst of brokenness, at times it's an act of trust to see that God is present and doing something, but I want to encourage you tonight that he is. And as I said, going through the videos of the 40 stories and listening to the way God is working in the hearts of people across this nation, it's encouraging because suddenly you see that there is hope, that God is doing something. Well, the title for today was That Love Rejoices with Truth, which of course comes from 1 Corinthians 13, thank you. Verse 6. That was better than I thought I was going to get, so well done. So it says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now that's a really interesting thing in a situation like this when we're thinking about brokenness and about hurt and about pain, that in the midst of that, love doesn't delight in evil. It doesn't delight in that brokenness and that pain, and yet it still delights in truth. And so that leaves me in a funny place. I think when it comes to hurt and pain and these sorts of things, we're not to sweep it under the carpet. We're also not to delight in it, but we're not to sweep it under the carpet. There's something about that truth that is a part of, once again, maybe something that God is doing, even though we don't see it. And so just for a moment, I'm just reminding us that there's always a perspective bigger than what we see from where we are. That there is a God who is a God full of love. Arnie Ada reminded us of that. Who wants good things. It's not about pretending everything is okay. It's actually sort of starts, I think, love often with accepting what is and starting from there. Jesus reminds us, doesn't he? Even pray for those who hurt you, and that's hard. And yet, even in praying for those who hurt us, loving our enemies, there is an acceptance of the reality of the brokenness of that relationship that we are bringing love into. One of the realities that I was struck by this week as I was thinking through and looking at some resources and hearing voices, I guess, from different sides of all of this, I was struck by something that I just think is a reality, and it's a part of that truth and the starting point in all of this. 200 years ago, or a little bit over 200 years ago, a broken people arrived in this land. And it's pretty hard to deny that there was a broken people who landed, even though many of us are now proud if we do have some sort of convict heritage in our family tree. It certainly speaks loudly to the brokenness that we were the discard of a nation from the other side of the world that landed here. One of the other things that I was struck with this week is that we were a broken people who also arrived in a place that was already full of broken people. And when you get broken people and you add more broken people, I've got the equation up there, you end up with just a lot more broken people. In all of that, there's something missing, and in some ways, this is just the reality of the whole world, isn't it? This isn't unique to this situation. All around the world, there are places where broken people meet up with broken people, and the result is more broken people. But one of the things that this highlights, and I think why it's helpful to mention this, as painful as it might be, is that it highlights the fact that education is not enough. If education was enough, then we would be able to fix, through education, broken people into whole people. But education, I don't think, is enough. So in the midst of all of this, and this idea that truth delights, love rejoices in the truth, is, I guess, it highlights to me that love does more than that. And we have to remember that. Love does more than delight in the truth, as important as that is. I could ask you what 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, but I'll show you as well. So 6 and 7 says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, and it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And once again, I was just struck this week listening to stories, the way that love has done that in people's lives. That we're still in a place where so many of us are calling out for something better. We're calling out for healing. We're calling out for broken relationships to be restored or repaired, or perhaps relationships just to be built where there haven't been relationships. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. But that does bring us back to something that Arnie Ada said, and that is this idea that she recognises that without God she can do nothing. And I mentioned John 15:5 and that idea that Jesus says, abide in me and you will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And Arnie Ada sort of reminds us that there is this starting point and place for love. And Jesus, would remind us that we need to find somehow him in the midst of all of this if we are going to come with something that is worth bringing to the equation, something that might bear fruit. In fact, he says, if you abide in me, you'll not just bear some fruit, you will bear much fruit. And it seems that this is what this situation has always needed and continues to need and will need in the future, is this love that comes from God. And Arnie Ader, I think, is aware of that. And there was another one of the 40 stories that caught my eye, and that was about a guy by the name of Bill Towns, who came from a little town in New South Wales called Cargo. And rather than play you some of the clip, I'd like to just show you some of what he says. He described what he came to the conclusion it was that God wants for him in his own walk. He was somebody who was struggling to be a good husband and struggling to be a good dad. He came from, a family, I think it was his father, he said, who denied his Aboriginality. For him, he was sort of trying to find his place, really having no idea in some ways where he had come from and where he was supposed to be now. And he talks about his journey with God, and he described what God wants for him. He says that God wanted that he would understand that he really was loved by God. He actually talks about opening the Bible, and his video, if you want to find it, I think it's headed something like The Beloved Son. And for him, you know, part of that story was he opened the Bible and it sort of fell to one of the gospel accounts of Jesus' baptism and, you know, the words of the Father, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And Bill's like, "Oh, that's great for Jesus, happy for Jesus. Yay, Jesus," sort of shuts the Bible. And he opens the Bible again and it falls to another gospel with the same sort of phrase. "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And once again, he's like, "Oh, well, that's good." It's funny how Arnie Ader, it was three times Arnie Ader, Arnie Ader. Well, for Bill, it was three times. He opens for a third time the Bible. And he reads again those words of the Father to Jesus. You know, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And Bill said, there's just this moment he realized that was for him, that he was also a son of the Father in whom God was well pleased. And that was groundbreaking for him. And so he realizes that this is so key to what God wanted him to understand. And this is what he says that God said. He said, "Bill, you've got to get this, because when you get this, that he's loved by the Father, you can give it, and other people will get it, and the nation will get it, and then we will walk in forgiveness, and we will walk in love. But until you love you and understand that I love you, you can't give it away." It comes back to that John 15:5. It comes back to, I think, of a bit of what Arnie Ader was saying as well. And it's this constant theme that I keep seeing. How is it that we bring something that's helpful? And I guess essentially, ultimately, it's when we bring God with us to whatever it is. And he finishes close to the end of the video with a phrase that I'm still trying to work out, and I don't want to put ideas and thoughts into Bill Towns's head, I guess. But he says, it's at the bottom there, he says, he wants us to lay everything down and just go and stand with one another. He wants us to lay everything down and just go and stand with one another. It sounds simple. It's also a little bit, as you think about it, unclear. He wants us to lay everything down and just go and stand with one another. One of the things I was struck with was this idea of laying things down. And it seems to me that this is one of those topics that people bring a lot of stuff to. And there's some things that should be brought to this topic, and there's some things that I don't think help when they're brought to this topic. And the challenge is for me with what I bring to this topic. It's not for me to stand up here and tell you what you should bring to this topic necessarily. And so I'm challenged by the fact that I should lay things down like my prejudice. I should lay down perhaps at points my hurt, and I should seek healing from God where I need to for those things and bring as much as I can just what it is that God gives me in his love and his strength. But the other thing is that I also recognize that this is why I don't want to tell other people what they should and shouldn't bring, because there's some people who I think need to bring their hurt. The people that I want to stand beside, perhaps, I need to recognize that they will bring their hurt to this. I don't want to tell them not to bring that, if that makes sense. I want them to bring that, because I'd like to stand next to them in their hurt. Because love rejoices in the truth and that opportunity to stand with people in the midst of what they're going through. There's this picture in Revelation, isn't there, that we gather around the Lamb that was slain. Not a lamb that's nice and white and fluffy, but a lamb that's a bit bloody and beat up. This history that is important, that's a part of what we're going to see at the end when everything's supposed to be put right. It's one of those mysteries, isn't it? So I'm going to hold that lightly. I'm going to maybe just, I guess, say that for me, I'm going to ask God for wisdom as to what I bring and what I lay down, what's helpful for me to bring. And also I'm going to ask him to give me, I guess, a real patience and a non-judgment towards other people with what it is that they bring, because there are some things that I think people should bring for healing and for sharing. But there's certainly things that we bring. And it seems like sometimes every time we open our mouths, we can put our foot in it and bring things that aren't helpful. But that desire to ask God's guidance with that. So, in finishing up, I guess, I hope in some way that's just been a helpful encouragement. Please, hope we didn't claim it was going to do more than it did. but I hope it didn't do harm. But the idea just that, some thoughts that might be helpful at the end of NAIDOC week. There's a few resources I said I'd point you to, and Bruce mentioned Common Grace, but he mentioned .com.au, and these are a bunch of places where I just found there were things that were helpful for me preparing this week, and I'm not saying everything was helpful, but there was things there that were helpful. Commongrace.org was one. 40stories.org.au, you go there, you'll find story around the project and the videos that are there. But just put 40 stories into your Google and YouTube will come up with all the videos. Tearfund.org.au had some helpful resources. Anglican Focus did as well. Now, APWM, that's Australian Presbyterian World Mission. That's the mission part of our denomination. You won't find much on the Presbyterian Church of New South Wales or Australia website, but if you go to apwm.org.au, there is a... up on the top menu, there is Indigenous Ministries, and you can go to that, and hopefully, I'd hope it would encourage you what it just does mention some of the people that we are employing in Indigenous Ministries across Australia. Some of them are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and some are not, but they are certainly working with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. And Bible Society, I didn't put it up there, but I discovered this morning they had some helpful resources as well. For me, watching 40 Stories and going through some of these things, I was just excited by what God is doing in people's hearts. That is making a difference. It's making a difference in people's lives. And I just think, if there were more of us, I was just so encouraged by Auntie Ada, I guess, which is why I wanted to share her little testimony with you this morning. But as God works in the heart of each individual, it's this slow tide that turns, I guess, that changes our nation and brings healing to us as a people. I wanted to close off with a closing prayer, which comes once again from catholic.edu website, which is, they titled it, A Closing Prayer, so it seemed appropriate to do it at the end of the sermon. So let me pray. Dear God of all creation, as we journey together in this great southern land, we pray for healing, forgiveness, and unity, creating a path of goodwill with justice and compassion. Jesus, through the power of your love, you have given us the courage, wisdom, and strength to share our gifts and talents in humility. In peace and understanding, we reconcile with each other. Creator Spirit, we come together in prayer and thanksgiving for the many blessings that we have received. Amen.